First of all, Chevra, all the Torah tonight, all the Chizik Zoras tonight, being sponsored by our close Chaver Talmud, we had this chus, he was here last week. He'll be listening from Baltimore this week to Rav Mordechai and Hadassah Bennett. Mordechai's grandmother's yahrzeit is this upcoming Shabbos Kodesh. Tila Matal Bas Rav Moshe. Smir Hashem, all the Torah, all the Chizikos, Zara should be Lulin Hashmasa for Tila Matal Bas Rav Moshe. Should have Bez Hashem, should be his chus for her neshama. And it should be Lulin Hashmasa. Should be a Me'elitza Yaisra for a beautiful Mishpacha. Until the Zaycha to be dancing together with her Mashiach Sakeinu B'meher B'meinu.
Amen.
So throughout the week, I was thinking about what we're going to learn about tonight, what to talk about tonight. I'll tell you what I came to. It's really all one and the same. You know, I've mentioned this before, but there's certain moments in my life that are of the most intense moments, most emotional moments. And those moments are moments that I feel I'm constantly in. I feel like my whole life is about those moments. And the common denominator amongst those moments that are so intense and so emotional are their own moments of departation. When I'm leaving something special. Because when you're leaving something special, you feel that pull, that tug of war of emotion of you've just experienced something incredible and now you have to leave and you feel bad that it's over and you don't know when it's going to be again. And it's like just whirlwind of emotion that becomes so intense and you feel like that moment is the moment of your life. Lamashal, I feel this way every single time I'm leaving Kaisel Maravi. You know, Baruch Hashem, every one of us in this room has had the schuz to spend much time in Eretz Yisrael, and we try to go back to Eretz Yisrael, visit Eretz Yisrael, and halavai, Bez Hashem, we should all be living in Eretz Yisrael for the rest of our lives, Bekarav Mamish. But when we go on a trip, and we're not zocheh to stay there, or even when we had the schuz to go spend time learning in Eretz Yisrael, or a summer in Eretz Yisrael, and somehow, inevitably, it's always come to a close. And we always find ourselves, and I find myself, that last day, going to the Kaisel for that final tefillah at the Kaisel. And going up to the wall and kissing the Kaisel and davening to Hashem and knowing that you're leaving and sometimes not knowing when you're going to get back. And it's just this like very heavy emotional moment. And you're like, where did the time go so quickly? You just had 2 weeks in Eretz Yisrael, you had 2 months in Eretz Yisrael, you had a year in Eretz Yisrael, whatever that time period was, feels like Haravayin at that moment. And sometimes I feel like I'm always living in those moments, that moment of leaving the Kaisel, that moment of Sudas Mashiach and leaving Pesach, that moment of the end of Simchas Torah and leaving all the Heiligim, Yom Tovim of Tishrei. That moment on the drive home yesterday. The drive home yesterday. Yesterday was an opportunity once every 7.5 years to be a part of something so special, to be together with 100,000 Yidden celebrating Torah. And it didn't matter when you were there whether you learned Daf Yomi or you didn't learn Daf Yomi. The Simcha Shel Torah. The simcha of being with 100,000 yidden. The simcha of davening with 100,000 yidden. The chashiva shel Torah. It's transformative. It's life-altering. You have no idea how many calls or texts I got over the day today of people who were there and wanting to make changes in their lives and discuss those changes. Like, incredible. Like, mom is incredible. And you heard yesterday at the Siyam stories of people whose life changed because of 7.5 years ago, the Siyam. And it was so special. It's like I got there, Baruch Hashem, on time, and I didn't want to leave that makom. One time, I had to use the restrooms. Like, it hit a point, you're sitting and you're in the seat from before 1 o'clock till close to 6 o'clock. So one time, I figured during the Yiddish speech, and I was anyway subtitles. That was the one time I. And no disrespect to the Gadol Tam Chacham, I didn't mean it like that. I don't know. Rav Shor's Yiddish, somehow I understand, but it was what it was. Anyways, Lameisa. But outside of that, Mamish didn't want to leave to miss one moment of that experience of a lifetime that only happens 7.5 years. Had a Yid, a very chashav Yid, a very prominent Yid, a very incredible Yid, who left me a message last night talking about his inspiration and what he wants, certain things he wants to take him on himself. One of the things he said, he's like, why do we have to wait 7.5 years for this? We need this every year. We need this every year. By the way, this is the type of Yid who could actually make it happen, like literally. He's that type of dreamer and that type of personality and that type of, he's involved with a lot of big things and he's an incredible person. And again, takes a lot of, he told me he wants to meet and talk about it and see how we can make this happen. It's not so pashut, obviously. Daf Yomi only finishes every 7.5 years, but the idea, he didn't mean that need to be Daf Yomi. What he said was a celebration of Torah that we should all be a part of in such a grand fashion because it's that inspirational and we need it. Honestly, and no disrespect to anyone in this room I'm about to talk to, but you deserve it, that ultimately I'm embarrassed for people that weren't there yesterday. I feel bad for you. I feel bad for you that you missed that opportunity. You know, we spoke about it here a few months ago, there's certain opportunities you can't miss. This would be at the top of the list. It just, I don't understand. Like, you wouldn't miss the Eilav Yom Kippur. To miss an opportunity to be with 100,000 Yidden celebrating Torah. Okay, I shouldn't be saying that now because it already passed. I know, I feel, I'm sorry. But MS is, it was that special and that chashav and that inspirational. And that life-altering. And we'll get back to it. We'll get back to it because if we walk away and it was just an experience and we're no different from it, then it's like any other experience, Hashem Yirachim, that people have. But we're going to make sure that's not the case. But again, it was that feeling driving home yesterday. That feeling driving home yesterday, and it's over. I looked forward to it for so long. I looked forward to it in a way for 7.5 years. That's the truth, because I still remember every moment of 7.5 years ago, in August of 2012. Sitting there, and that one I had the schus to sit with my Zaidi, who I loved so dearly, who was still alive. And it was, I remember it was spectacular, it was inspirational, and I was looking forward to this for 7.5 years. And I don't learn Daf Yomi. It's not about that. It is about, on some level, about that. But what I mean by that, it's so much bigger than that. It's the biggest celebration of Torah that you didn't have together. It's incredible. But then it's over. And think back, by the way. But think back. And what earlier in the week I planned on talking about, and we're going to put it back. It's all one. That's why it's incredible. It's all one. It's the feeling of when we left Chanukah. The feeling, we had a Chanukah. Chanukah was incredible. It was inspirational. It was lichtig. It was heilig. You know, if you didn't think about it rationally, let's be real. Some of us might feel like Chanukah was weeks ago. It was 3 days ago. Literally 3 days ago was still Chanukah. We're Thursday today. Monday was Chanukah. This Sunday night, we lit Chanukah candles. So much has happened since then. Feels so far away, so distant. But that was the feeling as well. That feeling I had Sunday night, watching, meditating, connecting to the Licht, connecting to the Ruchnis, connecting to the Ner of Chanukah. Sunday night I was watching the Neros as they were extinguishing one after another of my menorah. And it was so hard. It was incredible. It was a lot of connection, iskashrus. to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Eibishter, to Ruchnius, to Kedusha, but it was bittersweet. It was watching them one after another. And then that final candle was burning. I was watching that final candle. And I'm standing at that point. I couldn't even sit. I was just watching. It's close. I literally was like, Mamish, and I'm lucky that my eyelashes didn't burn up. It was like, Mamish, because I was trying to connect, and I'm staring at that final candle. And then, you know how it goes? You watch it, it starts flickering and getting. Oh, Mamish, I'm watching it, and it gets on the wick smaller and smaller and smaller, and you're yearning for that little that's left. You're learning that little is left to stay. Mamish, watching it just go, and poof, and it's gone. And I remember I felt my heart drop, knowing there's no more Chanukah licht. I'm not going to be lighting the next night. I'll tell you what happened. I looked at the time. Can't make this up. You ready, Chaver?
Again.
I looked at the time. It was exactly on the dot, 1 a.m. It was exactly 1 a.m. Exactly 1 a.m. So I start thinking to myself, what is the message? What is the Remezel Davar? What is 1 a.m.? That's when it all went off. That's how, you know, Chaver knows. That's how I think. And this is, it's not just numbers. That's how I think about everything. Everything in this world, you have to think with the message from Hashem and connection to Hashem. It's 1 a.m. and nothing came to me about 1 a.m. Like, what is 1 a.m.? And then it hit me. Listen, Chevra. That night I knew exactly the time that we lit Licht. Why? Because my daughter Neshama was discussing and tining that she thought on the eighth night that you can't be Yotze with the colored candles, the standard box colored candles, because they really only last for like 35 minutes. On the eighth night, when you have eight candles, and if it's a menorah, that they're close to each other, the heat and the fire is so strong, they melt much quicker. And they're going to go quicker. And Kachave, one of the menorahs we lit, that one of the kids lit, it was very, very close. And literally, it was like 25 minutes gone. Not even. Less. Finished. We were still like in the middle of Mosur. It's already... MS. I'm sad, like... MS. Gone. So I knew exactly what time we lit. So first, 1 a.m., nothing hit. So I chesed myself. It hit me. Calculating from when I lit till 1 a.m., that I realized now, some of the Chevra will put this together immediately. Listen, this is incredible. You can't make this up. You ready for this? On that final night, Sunday night, my last candle went out at 1 a.m. It lit for exactly 408 minutes. Exactly 408 minutes. New Chevra. Nobody? Shem Yerachim Yishamas. Exactly 408 minutes. What's the final day of Chanukah called, Chevra? Zois Chanukah. Zois Chanukah, and there's so much Torah, we're not going to do that right now, about why it's Zois Chanukah, and the laning Zois Chanukah. This is Chanukah, and that eighth day represents Lamalim and Ateva, and the eighth day is the Nes, and the eighth day is what we're supposed to take into the year. Zois Chanukah is the eighth day of Chanukah. Zois, exactly, Gematria, 408. And my candle lit exactly 408 minutes. Now you can decide what you want to do with that and what message that is to you. I thought it was pretty incredible. And I hoped it was a chizik that this Chanukah, that last neshika I felt, the neshika from the Ribbono Shel Olam when I saw that. Mamash, a kiss from above. I just say, okay, you did it this year. Chanukah's good. But again, it's over. But then it's over. And it's gone. And now it's just regular days of Teves. Okay, yesterday wasn't. We had the schus of a special yontiv yesterday. But how do we deal? It's all one. Meaning, leaving Siyum HaShas, and leaving Chanukah, and leaving Pesach, and leaving Yom Kippur, and leaving Purim. Whatever it might be, it's like, I feel like my whole life is leaving. You ever feel that way? Like your whole life is leaving. It's always just leaving. So tell you something, Chevra. Of all these simchas we're talking about, Yom Tovim, special days, Siyum HaShas, I didn't mention one simcha in my life. You know, I had another simcha in my life that was incredible. And that was my chasana. My chasana was mamish incredible. Mitzvah Hashem b'shatayva be'ich and every one of you. Some of you sooner than others. B'shatayva in the right time, with the right person. Chasen and Mamish, we just had earlier, Chasen and Kalir a few moments ago. Chasen is incredible, the night of your life. Beruchnias, Bekdusha, with your Chevra, in every way. It's an amazing night. Mamish, I remember when I stood on my Chuppah. Till that point in my life, I never felt closer to Hashem. And Mamish felt Him by my side. The time that topped that was the birth of my first son. Then you're in the room with Bria. It's like crazy. It's like Hashem, Mamish, like... It's if anyone who doesn't have full emunah and that had a child already is out of their minds. Then you have to check they must have zero IQ. Zero. Not one. I don't know how the IQ even works, but they must have a zero. Because you can't be by childbirth and deny Rabbeinu Shalom, the Eibishter. It's like, really. But I'll tell you. But by the time I got married, the closest I ever felt was under that chuppah. And then the tansing, Mamish, you know, tansing yesterday was incredible. But you know what it is, tansing your chasana with your chevra, with your father, with your... Mir Tashem, you all understand. But I'll tell you something about my chasana. So that was a once in a lifetime. Shiyah Mashas, at least it's every 7.5 years. That's halavai, Bez Hashem should only be once in a lifetime. Should be only once in a lifetime, right? That's what we hope for, once in a lifetime. I'll tell you something, when my chasen ended, I didn't feel any of this. Everything that I'm describing now, I felt none of it. My chasen was over, I didn't feel like, oh my God, I can't believe where to go, I want to do it again. I'd have to wait. No, there's no wait, never again. And I didn't feel that. Because when my chasen ended, I was excited for a life of simcha and bracha and build with my wife and build a bias and have children and go through this journey of life that has been only more and more and more simcha. Because I recognized and I realized immediately the chasana, it's a beginning. It's not an end, it's a beginning. So there's no sadness at the end, there's no down at the end, no letdown. It's over. It's the beginning, it's exciting. I get to now be married to my wife and start to build this beautiful relationship and a family and build a bias. It's a beginning. It's not like I want to go back again. I don't ever want to go back again. That excitement, that chasen was so special, is the jump start, is the beginning of that simcha. It's only the start when it's a start. You're not down, you don't feel let down. Thus is what all these have to be for us, and specifically a Chanukah, and specifically a Siyum HaShas. And I think they were, you know, Vada, somehow, based on when the first Shas began, Rav Meir Shapiro, Daf Yomi began, it ended up that it should be this year. This year we should end right after Chanukah. And I think they're deeply connected and we're going to understand that. And they're both beginnings. The end of Chanukah is a beginning. Siyum HaShas is a beginning. I sent it out to the Chevra, but you all saw it already. I just waited to send it out to the Chevra for yesterday because of Siyum HaShas, the beautiful words by my Rebbe, Amori Zecher Tzadik HaShvarach of Nazan Zinfinkel, of when he spoke about the words of Hadron Alach. Hadron Alach. As he says, in only the way he could say it, even if I repeat it, it doesn't do justice to the way Rav Nosson Tzvi says it. He says it, Mamish Min HaLev, and he had the biggest lev in the world, so no one else could say it the way he said it. But when he says, when you hear those words, who's ever heard sweeter words in their life? What sweet words, what beautiful words, Hadron Alach. Hadron Alach, when we had the schus yesterday, to be together with 100,000 yidden, hearing Rav Shmuel Kamenetzki Shlita, crying through it. Mamish, you couldn't get a good word out of you, so choked up. To be able to say, Hadron Alach Masech is needed for Talmud Bavli. But what does that mean? That wasn't a celebration of an end. The celebration was Hadron Alach, I'm going to go back to you. It was the beginning. It was a celebration of a new dedication and revitalization to my Amelus B'Torah, to my Kveyas Yitim L'Torah. That's the celebration. We don't celebrate that we finished. We celebrate that we're restarting. We're celebrating that the thousands of new Jews taking upon to learn Daf Yomi now. And those that were doing it already are going to learn it with new understanding and new depth. And those of us that aren't even learning Daf Yomi, because that's not our vote at this point, and we'll get to this, have to take other Kabbalahs upon ourselves. That's what we're celebrating. And if it wasn't the start, there was nothing to celebrate. It has to be the beginning. And then there's no letdown. Gewalt. Incredible. I'm living with it. I'm living with Chanukah. We mentioned it last week, a Torah from the Eretz Tzvi, because of Yeshua's Kasha last week. I saw from the Eretz Tzvi that he says something incredible. You know, Minhag Yisrael is, when you have a new house, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to thank Hashem for everything. So the Minhag has begun to make a Chanukah Sabayis. Everyone says Chanukah is because Chanukah Chafei. The Eretz Tzvi says what? Chanukah is Melech Chanukah Sabayis. It's only the beginning. It's to light our fires. But we don't extinguish the fire. We light the fire. I was thinking about it, you know, we've said over other Torahs on this, but Minog Bizman Hazeh has become to light the fire, light the menorah indoors. Mikra Din, it should be outdoors, and most of the reasons are really not so great, Bizman Hazeh. makes a lot more sense to light the menorah outdoors. But maybe it's a simin lanu. Maybe it's to remind us. Maybe it's to remind us that the fire inside us doesn't go out. We need the fire, not only light the fire on the outside, we have to light the fire on the inside. The fire of the neshama, the fire of Torah that's burning inside me, I never extinguished it. The Hilchos Shem Shmuel says, I don't know if he says this maybe more b'derech drush, but there's no Isser Melacha on Chanukah, we know. Chanukah is no Isser Melacha, it's not Yom Tov, it's not Shabbos in that way. He says, you know why not? You know why there's no Isser Melacha? This is what he says. He says there's no Isser Melacha on Chanukah. That way you don't have to make Avdolah after Chanukah. You have to make Avdolah to be Ma'avdol ben Kodesh L'chol. Since it's Chol, there's no Avdolah. Which means I never leave Chanukah. Who here? Anyone made Avdolah on Chanukah? You made Avdolah on Chanukah. Zois Chanukah at the end. You made Avdolah on Chanukah? Nobody made Avdolah on Chanukah. So it's still, we didn't make Avdolah. We're still in it. We're still living it. Still, you don't need to light it. It's lit. It's lit. It's still lit. So I'm you ready? The Gered, the Svasemes says, we all know the famous Shiltas. If you didn't know the Shiltas, you've heard this in all the Svarim quote and talk about this Torah. How real the menorah is supposed to be in the doorway. If you light it outside in the front by the front doorway, and if you don't have a makum by a window, presumably it should be in the front doorway, right? Where? So you have the mezuzah on the right, the menorah on the left. But the shiltos goes further. It says the person wearing tzitzis is in the middle. So it's surrounded by... Right? You all know this. You all see this Torah. So you're surrounded by mezuzahs as you walk in. Yes, the svasemes. Very funny question. We know Laila is not a zman of tzitzis. At night, there's no mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay, we keep on our tzitzis because of the whole machlokes, because we're not going to get into it right now. But really, Laila is not a zman of tzitzis. So when do we light menorah? At night. So why would he say, oh, light the menorah on the left, and your mezuzah on the right, and you walk in with your tzitzis in the middle, if it's not a zman of tzitzis? That doesn't make any sense. Why are we talking about tzitzis? And a zman is not tzitzis. When we start talking about fasting on Yom Kippur and Chanukah, also it's not zman. What are we talking about? Zok the svasemes. Zok the elegis svasemes. In Tuf Reish Lamedal, you can look it up, Lel Rishon. Svasemes says, obviously, what? We're supposed to light the menorah in such a way that it leaves a roishim, that it leaves an imprint. And therefore, by the next morning, or the day after, or tomorrow morning, when you walk in your doorway, and you're wearing tzitzis, and it's a man of tzitzis, you still feel the menorah there. You're walking through it, feeling the light of the menorah, obviously, because when you light it, it's not a man of tzitzis. It must be that it's there, that the light is still there, even when it's not there. Even when it's after the fact. And it has to leave such a roish. My Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me a tremendous matana. You ready for this matana? Because you'll see, mamish, unbelievable. So I don't know. So I right away thought to myself, what's haroisham de Chanukah? The imprint of Chanukah. Haroisham de Chanukah. So haroisham de Chanukah with the koilel is 646. So right away I thought this has to be connected to tzitzis. Because that's the vart, that's the svazemes, right? That it's the roishim of Chanukah is the Torah of the tzitzis, right? The imprint of Chanukah, the remnant of Chanukah, the feeling that Chanukah is still with us. Haroishim to Chanukah, 646. So right away I think tzitzis, we all know like that, one of the gematria, if you don't know gematria of tzitzis like that, then you shouldn't be at this table, right? Because it's of the most famous gematrias, the tzitzis is 600 and the 8 strings, 5 knots, tariq mitzvahs, right? We all know that. It's Rashi already. Risa was Namskartim, right? So Something says the 600, that's far off. You know, that's far off. Okay, could always work with it, but I'm not. So I look in at the Lashon of the Shiltas. The Shiltas doesn't say, like, a person that's Lovesh Sittas. He says the Lashon of the Mezuzah on the right, the Menorah on the left, and the Ish that's Mitzutzis. The Ish that's Mitzutzis. That's his Lashon of wearing Tzitzis. Mitzutzis. Mitzutzis, exactly Gematria 646. Exactly. The exact Gematria of Haroshim de Chanukah with the Kaila. Haroshim de Chanukah with the two Kolos. 646, Mitzutzis. Couldn't believe it. Mamash, I just started dancing. You hear? That's the Roshim, but that's the Iker. The Ikers have the Roshim of Chanukah. It's not over. It's still what we all know, the famous story. Everybody knows the famous story of Shlomo Karliner. Heiliger of Shlomo Karliner. We all know the story. It's brought down everywhere, right? The Heiliger of Karliner, that after Chanukah was over, so he lit his Chanukah menorah near the wall, and it left a big stain on the wall because of the smoke, and it was all soot, and the wall was very darkened by the menorah. So his family, his wife, his children, whatever they got, they wanted to paint it, they wanted to take care of it, wash it, get rid of it, should be nice, should be clean. Kalina started screaming, Nish, you can't do such a thing. He wanted that the Roshim of Chanukah should always be seen and always be felt. I don't want to get rid of that. I don't want to wash that away. It's still here with us. I can say that's as well why last Shabbos we read Parshas Miketz. Always you live with the Parsha. How's Miketz start with the dreams of Paro? The dreams of Paro, and Yosef HaTzadik interprets the dreams. And what's the whole interpretation? The whole interpretation is that there's going to be times of plenty and then times of famine. And he says you have to find someone. Ish Navon V'Chacham. They will know how to store away at the times of plenty for the times of famine. Right? Those are the dreams. What's that telling us, B'derech Avodah Chevro? Every one of us in our lives, we have times of plenty and times of famine. We have times that are so conducive to Kedusha, to Ruchnias, that you can't deny it. Even if you try to get around it, you can't. Mamish, it's so, you feel it in the air. Chanukah Licht, it's so special, it's there, you don't have to work on it. Mamish, you just feel the connection to Hashem. Yesterday, in Mamish, as you're dancing in MetLife Stadium, you couldn't not feel it. You couldn't not feel what it is to be a Yid. You couldn't not feel the Simcha of being a Yid. Those are times of plenty. There are times when you can't not feel it. You're in the Ilah of Yom Kippur. You're by Purim Suda. You're dancing in Simcha's Torah. It's so conducive. It's Mamish, the lob over the plate for a grand slam. But then there are going to be times of famine. And every one of us has them. And there are times where we don't feel it, and times when it's not as clear, and times when we don't have the Kedusha that's right by our side in that way. So what does Yosef HaTzadik say? You got to store up in the times of plenty for the times of famine. That doesn't mean you should be left hungry. It doesn't mean you should be left without any food. We have to learn how to take Chanukah Licht, take Siyum HaShas into the year, and stay on fire, and light up the darker times with that light. That's why it says, "Is mamish ish navon v'chacham." Ish navon v'chacham. Ish navon v'chacham. What's chacham? Gemara in Talmud, very famous. Ezu chacham. Not alone we call them. That's an avos chevra. What's the other chazal? Ezu chacham. Haroyas hanoylad. You need ish navon v'chacham. You need a wise person who sees into the future, who understands there's going to be changes. Understands, as every Yid has, Ratzav Ishav, you have your ups, we have our downs. That's normal. Everybody has it. You think Tzaddikim don't have it as well? Tzaddikim also have it on their level, in their way. Every person has it. Our avoida is to stay lit, stay alive, stay with all the passion and chizik of those times. And keep it with us. Keep it with us. So we're still Chanukah Licht. We're still on fire right here. We're still Siyum HaShas. What specifically? I want to share one idea that personally I can't stop thinking about from Chanukah. I'm just going to open my heart and talk about what my Chanukah did for me this particular year. Again, you might all have different moments of inspiration. You had Chanukah, different Torahs that you learned Chanukah that inspired you, that you have to live with. And it's something that I believe, shared with the Chevra already one of the last couple weeks, I think. But I want to expand upon it based on this week's parasha a little bit. Because every year, again, there's so much, and every yontiv and every moment to connect to, there's many different. The Musa of the Yom is Malay, Shivim Panam L'Torah, Shivim Panam L'Yontiv. I'll tell you the idea I can't stop thinking about this particular Chanukah, and specifically because of so much that Klal Yisrael is going through at this time in our history. That concept that when we found the Pach Shemen, and we spoke a little bit about this last week as well, I think I mentioned this last week. The Pach Shemen with the Chayis Moshe Kohen Gadol, the signet, the seal of Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, as we pointed out last week. The understanding and the concept that it was there the entire time. The knowledge and knowing that when we found that oil, it wasn't just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. It was with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, meaning it was there the entire time. It was hidden away the entire time. Meaning now when I celebrate the Yeshua and celebrate the salvation and the Geula, I have a recognition that not only is Hashem here now helping me, He was there the whole time, and the Geula was already planted, the Refuah was there before the Makkah, and it was already there. He was by my side always. It's an incredible recognition, incredible nechama, I feel, to realize and to know in our lives we are all going to go through difficulties in life, and nisyonos and challenges, galus. But to know, not just to know, and it's one step is to know there's going to be Geula, there's going to be Yeshua. But to also know it's actually already in the world, it's there, it just hasn't revealed itself yet. It's incredible nechama, I feel. Something very special. It's a very important yisod in Yiddishkeit. And I believe that's why right now, the first parsha we read after Chanukah talks about what? It talks about the incredible, probably the most emotional moment in all of Chumash. Probably the most emotional moment in all of Chumash. When Yosef HaTzadik and Yaakov Avinu meet up for the first time in 22 years. Here Vatata, whose son we love so dearly, we all know, has thought for 22 years he's dead. Yosef HaTzadik hasn't been able to see his father 22 years. And they're reunited. Can we imagine that a moment? Can we imagine the love, the affection, the emotions? Mamish, incredible. And there was the Yeshua. There was the Geula. But you know what else is incredible? Yosef was alive the whole time. Yosef was alive the whole time. Meaning this was all waiting to happen. This was all just part of the plan. The refuah was there already prior to the Makkah. And we have to believe similarly in our lives, whatever we go through. There's already Yeshua in the world. There's already refuah in the world. There's already Geula in the world. It's just a matter of when it's going to reveal itself. That's what I'm trying to walk away from. You might have other Yisodos. But either way, we got to walk away still on fire. We got to still have Chanukah with us. We have to still have Sima Shas with us. These are only Haskolos. They're only beginnings. It's Chanukah's Abayas. It's Hadron Aloch. Chanukah hasn't ended. I saw from Rav Melech. A bunch of this was from Rav Melech. But I saw specifically Chiddush, he said, this is deep drush. There's a famous Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Nun Hey. I've spoken about this before, maybe some of the Chevra remembers, that there's a Gemara that says, if you see a tes, the letter tes, in a chaloim, it's Sivan Yafa. It's a very good thing. I've never seen a tes in my dreams, or that I remember. I don't know if any of the Chevra has ever seen a tes in their dreams, but
I have dreams.
You saw a tes?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyways. So Simon Tess, the letter Tess, it's okay, is a Simon Yafa, is a very good Simon. So I always understood this based on a piece from the Shvil Pinchas I've given over before. The Tess, on the surface in this world, seems like it's very bad. A woman goes through childbirth, 9 months, full of pain, full of emotional distress, full of difficulty. Tisha B'Av is on the 9th of Av. But all of those pains are birthing pains. Meaning what? They all lead to ultimate Geula. that pain that the woman goes through for 9 months leads to birth and the greatest simcha. Mashiach is going to be born on Tisha B'Av, or was born on Tisha B'Av, hopefully, already. Meaning what? That's all just birthing pains. It's all pains that lead to Geula and Simcha. So the letter Tes is actually a good Simin Yafa. That's one way of understanding. As we know, the first time a Tes is in the Torah, it's the word Tov. So it's really all good. But Rav Melech explains a little differently. Rav Melech, my son Shmuel calls me. It was like, I don't know, it must be 2:40 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning in Eretz Yisrael. He calls me and he's like, it's quiet. He's like, Tati, I just finished davening Meir with Rav Melech. With 10 of us. I was the 10th man in the minyan for Rav Melech at the Kaisel. And then he's like, I gotta go. And he goes, he calls back like 2 hours later. It's like 4 a.m. He's like, yeah, then we went through, we said, every shir, Rav Melech, we daven Meiriv. And then Rav Melech said out loud, we daven together every shir Amalos. And then all of Kuf Yates. And then Rav Melech gave us like tremendous brachas. We got to speak to him for a while. What a schuss to be in our stroll. Look, we're sitting here in 5 towns. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we had schuss to learn Torah together. Yeah. Shmuel's, that was yesterday already. We're past, but Shmuel's, but is David and Meir of the Buther of Melech and at the Kaisel. Okay, Mir Tzachem, 2 Thursday nights. Hopefully sooner, Mashiach coming, but if not, 2 Thursday nights. Anyways, so Rav Melech says, you know what it means? You know what letter Tess is Simin Yafa? He says there are 8 days of Chanukah. The letter Tess means it's the 9th day of Chanukah. It means you're still celebrating Chanukah after Chanukah, quote unquote, ends. That's Simin Yafala. That's good. When you're still in Chanukah, day 9, day 10, day 11, you're still in Chanukah, Ich weiß nicht, in Adar, it's still Chanukah. On Purim, it's still Chanukah. Because I'm still on fire. I still feel it. How can you have that? How can we continue? How can we feel it? Ki ner mitzvah b'Torah ahar. It's all that yesterday. The lights of the Chanukah licht are the lights of Torah. So sometimes that Torah is a little more conducive, a little easier to connect to when I light the Chanukah licht. Maybe it's a little more, I feel it in that way. But if I sit and learn Torah and steig in Torah, it's that same fire. It's that same flame. Hashem gave me a big matana. If you take the gematria, or Bineros HaMenorah, the light in the Bineros HaMenorah, or Bineros HaMenorah is 1,171, exactly gematria ze amelus b'Torah. Ze amelus b'Torah, this is amelus b'Torah, meaning you want the or of the Bineros HaMenorah, or Bineros HaMenorah to be with you, you can still have it through amelus b'Torah. We all had this chus yesterday to be inspired about chashivas of Torah, about amelus b'Torah. You want to still feel the fire of Chanukah. Deeply connect Torah much more than we have been. Us in this room, Baruch Hashem, we're still at a tekufa in our lives. We have this chus to be in yeshiva. We have this chus to be learning Torah every single day. It's chus to have chavrusa, it's chus to be in shir, it's chus to have night seder. So it doesn't have to be dafyomi at this point in your life. If guys want to take that upon themselves, beautiful, wonderful. But if you walk away from yesterday and walk away from Chanukah without a new Kabbalah and Torah, then you miss the boat. Then you put out the fire. You know what? If it's not dafyomi, every one of us should be starting today. And if it's not today, tomorrow, or latest Sunday when the new daf cycle starts. Every person, every yid, should take upon themselves the Kabbalah of something new that they're doing every single day. So maybe I'm not ready to have Yomi because I have my other Siddurim that's not from this point in my life. So I'm going to start learning 2 Mishnayos a day that I wasn't doing. I'm going to start learning an Aliyah a day that I wasn't doing. And every week start going through the Seder the way I should be, but I haven't been doing it. I'm going to start going through, I don't know, new that I haven't done, and go through a page of Mishil Sharm every day. It's Mashalivah Chavit, but what you take upon yourself. Take upon yourself a new commitment to daily Torah study. We're all learning Torah. But something that no matter what that day you're going to do every single day. Even when you have Ben Azmanim, even when it's Shabbos, Sunday. And you can say, oh, Rebbe, of course I'm learning every day, I'm learning many hours a day. Something new that you're doing every day that no matter what you're going to do. That's what we need to be doing. Because of the Sima Shas, because of Chanukah. That the light should still be shining. Yeah, okay, I've been doing a lot. A little bit more. Doesn't have to be a lot more. It doesn't have to be an extra hour if I'm doing... It could be 5 more minutes a day. And some, I believe it should be, based on the Chizuk of Yomi, a commitment to something daily and consistent. Something new. And that's how the light will still be going. That's how I'll continue to be on fire from these Heiliga inspirational moments of Chanukah and Siyum HaShas. I want to share a story of a Siyum. You know, yesterday during Siyum HaShas, I thought it was very beautiful where they had this interlude with different stories, incredible stories with the people there. I mean, crazy. To see a Heilig Yid, a Tzadik Yisrael Olam, to finish Shas with ALS. I mean, Mamish, if you weren't inspired by that, then you didn't... there are no words. I don't even want to say what it is. There's no words. I mean, look at our verstunken selves. We have such... Hashem gives us koach and the ability to do, and we're not doing. And this Yid, B'nai Shalom, for whatever reason, decided to have such a machla, finishing Shas in that situation... There are no words. There are just no words. So let me, it's not, you can't live up to that. And then to see him there, and see him, Mamish, 7.5 years later, after making that commitment, according to doctors, he'd only have 1 more year to live. I mean, it's credible. Maybe the doctors were right, but derech teva, we're lemalim in a teva. And we have the koyach ha-Torah. The koyach ha-Torah could be what he'll keep on going through Torah. So Siyum Ha'er once told me, doctors know from nothing. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go to doctors. Of course you should go to doctors. Doctors have the right to heal. Doctors don't have the right to say there's no possibility to heal. They can say, we don't know what to do. You don't know, you're not the Rebbe Shalom. Of course you don't know. You can only know what you know. So here's a story. This could be a story for in 7.5 years. This is a good one. About a Siyum. Of Heilig Yid lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh, in Ramat Shiloh. His name's Akiva Hoffman. He's around 70 years old. And he's an Israeli, he was an Israeli his whole life. And he fought in Tzahal during the Yom Kippur War and was in many different battles. Today he sits and learns all morning long. So his unit by the Yom Kippur War, he knew, and it was known Yom Kippur War was going to be a long war, not going to be a Pasha war. And he decided, but at war, there are days where your mom is nonstop, there are days when there's downtime, the day, and he knew he wanted to learn Torah while he's a soldier, while he's even at war. So he took upon, I'm going to start, what could he do? Learn Mishnayos. See, Mishnayos, you have 2 minutes here, you have 5 minutes here, such a beautiful thing, pick up to learn Mishnayos. You learn a Mishnah, you learn 2 Mishnayos, and if you have more time, you learn a lot of Mishnayos. It's an amazing thing. So he took to learn Mishnayos, and that's what he took with him, Mishnayos. And he was sent, first they were sent to Ramat HaGolan, that's not Ramat HaGolan in Yerushalayim, I'm talking about up in the Golan. Then they were sent to the Sinai Desert, and he was there for a long time. And he's learning in Mishnayos, every single day. Anytime he had a few moments, some days he had more time, sometimes less time. There was a non from soldier in his unit, Chadad. Chadad was his name. And he was watching him. And he asked him what he's doing. He says, well, he was explaining to him, I'm learning Mishnayos. Hopefully one day I'll finish Shas. And the soldier was so impressed. This non from soldier. He says to him, I'm going to tell you something. The day you finish Mishnayos is the day that we're going to be free from the war and we're going to be sent home. This is what the non-from soldier tells him. So Akiva, he laughed a little bit. And that was it. Again, the war went on for a long time. Eventually, America got involved and they created some ceasefire and the war ended. But the troops were still in their places for a while after. And his unit, certain soldiers were really letting go. And their unit was still in the Sinai Desert. It was spring of 1974. And it's Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parsha Zohar. And Chadad comes over to Akiva and says to Akiva, Akiva, I told you, have you got to finish the Mishnayos so we can go home? Giving him chizik, like, pound. I hope you're getting to your learning tonight, he tells him. He says, tonight I have guard duty. I can't really learn much. I got to pay attention when you have guard duty. Chadad mamish believed in this. Listen to the emunah of this chiloni. The emunah, he says to him, "You know what? I need you to finish Mishnayos. I want to go home. I'll do guard duty for you. You sit and learn." Now that was big. You know, in the army, you want to go to sleep. You don't want to do guard duty when it's not your turn. But he believes so much. So Akiva says, "You sure?" Yeah. So Akiva sat and learned for hours at night. Learned again in the morning. That Shabbos by Zohar, he finished Shas Mishnayos. By that point, it's been about a year. Finished Shas Mishnayos in the army during Yom Kippur War. You hear this? What a tzaddik! Shalashudis in his unit, he made Sima Shas Mishnayos. The next morning, Akiva is sleeping. Chadad jumps on him and says, "They just came and told us we all could go home. Can't make it up. The Koyach HaTorah. The Koyach of Asim. The Shemira of Torah. The transformative nature of Torah. The understanding that Torah runs the world. And our connection to Torah is our light in the world. And to each and every one of us, it doesn't have to be an end. It doesn't have to be an end. It doesn't have to be an end to the Chanukah. It doesn't have to be an end of Sima Shas. Those are all just boost starts of beginnings. Of Chizik and Isoiris. To light our fires, but we don't extinguish the fires. We didn't make Havdalah. The Roshim, the imprint is still here. Rededicate to Torah. Revitalize our connection to Torah. I don't know how many of you saw it, but just they sent out today a meaningful minute. And Mamish, I'm telling you, yesterday was tansing, and it was one of those tansies. I've had only a few tansies like that in my life. You know, you're dancing, covered a Torah, Simchas Torah with 100,000 Jews. It was incredible. And Mamish, just like I looked up, and as I'm dancing there with my cousin, with my uncle. As I'm dancing, I look up. Shimon was just a few people away. And I look up and I see the banner from the New York Jets, Super Bowl III, if I'm not mistaken. 1969, the famous Joe Namath. We called that they're going to win, right? It's only Jets Super Bowl. Maybe ever, who knows? But I see this banner, and I'm like, I'm just the crazy moment that we're here. We are 100,000 yid in MetLife Stadium, and I see this banner. By the way, I saw today a story. Not a story. I saw the person speaking. There's a big gvir. His name's Mr. Werdiger, Sol Werdiger. He's a big gvir in the, and he's very involved with the good that he had to do with putting and having. He's involved with sports, and he had to do with the first CM being in MetLife Stadium. And he said when they went to sign the contract for Met, listen to this, for MetLife, that the CMHS should be MetLife, they made a big thing that it should be special. And that the owners of the Giants and the owners of the Jets, and the owners of the Giants happened to be Jews. There was a chizik, it was like, you know, and there were other Jews there, and a bunch of Rabbanim were there. And they're signing this contract to have CMHS in MetLife Stadium. And suddenly this guy says he wants to speak. They didn't know who's this guy. This guy was at this meeting. He was the one who was in charge of building the whole building. Building MetLife Stadium was like $1 billion. And 10 years to build the stadium, he says. He gets up there and says, 10 years, $1 billion. I'm spending all these Jewish people's money. And I'm thinking to myself, all this time and all this effort, all this money to build a stadium for sporting events. What are we doing here? Such wasted time, such wasted money for sporting events. He says, now I understand all the money and all the time was worth it to have Sima Shas, to have a Muslim, to have 100,000 Jews, to have Sima Shas. This is what this guy said. Incredible. So I'm sitting there, I'm standing, I'm dancing, and I see the Jets banner. It was such a crazy moment, and I think to myself, I'm thinking to myself, you know, sports team, they put in so much time and effort, and all the fans are, and you win a Super Bowl, you win a chair. I was three times in a stadium when the World Series were won. I was at the game in 1996 when the Yankees won the World Series. I was at the game in 1999 when the Yankees won the World Series. And I was there, 2015, when the Royals beat the Mets, which was the last game in Citi Field. So that's three different times when teams won the World Series. And you know what? I was thinking to myself, when you win the Super Bowl, when you win the World Series, people are happy. But no one's dancing like this. No one's dancing around the stadium the way we're dancing. The only time that ever happened in MetLife Stadium was 7.5 years ago. That doesn't happen when you win games. And when you're dancing, your whole essence is into it. Everything's into it. Your whole body is into it. Because that's true simcha. Because there's no greater simcha than simcha shel Torah. There's no greater simcha than simcha shel mitzvah. Everything else is just a pleasure. It's nice for the moment. Doesn't get you to dance. Doesn't get you to dance. You want to dance? Chever, you want to dance? You want to have a simcha that's going to, we're going to be dancing? Stay on fire with the fire of Torah. Let Siyam HaShas be the beginning. Let the menorah still be lit within ourselves. Let's say Hadron Olach. We're going to get back to you the sweetest words. And Rav Asher Staliner would say, Hadron Olach Maseches Chanukah. Hadron Olach Maseches Chanukah. We're getting back to you. When? Not in a year from now. Today! Because we're on fire with the fire of Torah. Bez Hashem, we should be zoiche. Be zoiche if we stay connected to the holy fires of Torah, the holy fires of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Be zoiche that simcha to always be dancing. Until we're dancing with the Gula Shleima, with Bias Mashiach, b'mehera b'yameinu.
Amen.